Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, Oregon at 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Pacific Environment's Rory Cox sheds a little California light on the Jordan Cove LNG terminal proposed for Coos Bay.
Activists with the Portland Central America Solidarity Committee and the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign are bringing the word from Peru to Representative Earl Blumenauer today.
And fuel barges can't seem to handle the complexities of the Columbia River, and we expect to bring QMAX tankers in.
Portland area weather, clearing with a high near 81. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows around 60, and then gradually warming over the next few days.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Today from 11:30 until 12:30, the most important political action you did not know about is scheduled at Earl Blumenauer's office. Last month, over 50 indigenous Peruvians were killed, hundreds were disappeared when the Peruvian government cracked down on protesters who had set up roadblocks to defend their lands from oil, gas, mining, and logging interests. Now we're reaping, these are the benefits, so-called, of free trade. Joining me this morning is Shizuko Hashimoto with Portland Central America Solidarity Committee. Good morning, Shizuko. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Can you talk a little bit about this action and what the message is that you hope to convey to Representative Earl Blumenauer?
Sure. So today we're going to be delivering a letter, several letters that we've collected in the community condemning the killings in Peru, and also calling on Earl Blumenauer to put pressure on the the Obama administration to contact the government of Peru to end the killings that are being committed in the name of free trade, and to also pressure the government of Peru to really rethink this type of economic development that they're engaging in, that basically sees the Amazon in Peru as an endless source of resources versus an environment where indigenous people live and thrive.
And the people, of course, are seen as utterly expendable and just a little bit more collateral damage in the whole process. So today's action is, there's a great many different groups that are really involved in this, and it's going to be at 11:30 to 12:30. Any other information you'd like to give listeners?
Just to let folks know that it's really important to stand in solidarity with the indigenous people of Peru. They're protecting not only their homes and their communities, but they're protecting the Amazon, one of the, for environmentalists out there, you understand the importance of protecting this, the rainforest and the, so I just really think that this is an indigenous issue, but it's definitely an environmental issue, as the government of Peru, the government of, Alan Garcia really is looking at the Peru Free Trade Agreement as an opportunity to rip open the Amazon and really start the process of resource extraction with little to no regard for the environment.
Thank you so much for that. My guest today has been Shizuko Hashimoto with Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, and of course the action today is between 11:30 and 12:30. Perfect way to spend lunch hour at Earl Blumenauer's office. Thanks.
And the address for Earl Blumenauer's office is 729 Northeast Oregon Street.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much.
It's recall time in Clatsop County. That's what happens when elected officials forget that they're charged with doing the will of the people who put them in power in the first place. Opponents of a proposed liquefied natural gas terminal along the Columbia River have filed paperwork to recall two Clatsop County commissioners who have supported the project. The recall targets Jeff Hazen and Ann Samuelson, who voted to allow Northern Star Natural Gas to build a $650 million LNG terminal 20 miles east of Astoria on an old mill site known as Bradwood. Samuelson has a history of questionable ethics, and now Hazen is well on his way to establishing one of his own.
Cascadia is a state of mind that encompasses Northern California in its geosphere. When our rivers, forests, and oceans are threatened, we respond as an extended family. Regarding the Jordan Cove LNG terminal proposed for Coos Bay, there's opposition on both sides of the line. 30 California and Oregon public interest organizations have signed on to a letter sent to PG&E's president asking that the company drop its commitment to the project. Joining me this morning is Rory Cox with Pacific Environment in out of San Francisco. Thank you so much for being with us today, Rory.
Well, thank you very much.
Can you talk a little bit from your perspective about some of the drawbacks that we face by even contemplating this fiasco in waiting down in Coos Bay?
Well, this conversation actually segues very well with the last conversation that you just had on the air regarding Peru. One of the potential suppliers of the Jordan Cove project is the Camisea pipeline, which is a natural gas project in the Amazon rainforest in Peru, and is one of the targets of the protests that have been happening in Peru. So, in the larger sense, LNG is really globalizing our natural gas supply in a way that we're not doing now. It could be coming from Peru, it could be coming from Indonesia, it could be coming from the Middle East or the Russian Far East. And my organization, Pacific Environment, has been working to oppose all liquefied natural gas terminals on the West Coast because of this unnecessarily globalizing our electricity grid and our natural gas grid, as well as subjecting communities to very unsafe projects and additional greenhouse gas emissions. And so for those reasons, we have targeted PG&E's involvement with the Jordan Cove LNG project.
It seems to be that it does, in fact, come down to a question of social justice. And in many cases here in Oregon, the liquefied natural gas developers are treating these small rural communities in the same way they would a third world country, simply there to be exploited.
Sure, and we've seen that happen in California as well. We've been doing this for the last 5 years or so. And always they choose the poorer and less advantaged and communities that have the fewest resources to fight these projects. And certainly with the Jordan Cove project, that follows that pattern.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Rory Cox with Pacific Environment. That's all the time we have today, but we'd like to invite you back to be guest on Air Cascadia in the very near future.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for that. Right-o.
Accidents will happen. They just happen more frequently when you combine a big river, big barges, human error, and safety standards designed by plutocrats in corner offices far from the scene. Case in point, Tidewater Barge Lines has racked up 5 nocturnal incidents on the Columbia River involving its fuel barges since last year. In one instance, a barge loaded with gasoline ran into a wall at the Dalles Dam in May, putting a 4-foot hole in its outer hull. No fuel leaks, but it's just a matter of time. This is the Fed's bailiwick, so the Coast Guard is claiming confidentiality in the ongoing investigations that have now reached 16 months long.
In the same media outlet, sometimes in the same week, even on the same day, conflicting stories appear, and the public fails to see the connections. There's recently been a spate of items concerning the dangers of herbicides and pesticides. Then it comes this from the Eugene Register Guard. Organic farmer and pastor Day Owen has been asking state and local government agencies to take his complaints about aerial pesticide spraying seriously for several years, and it appears he might finally have got some traction with the Lane County Board of Commissioners. One individual trying to fight the powers that be and get the point across and demand no spraying, no aerial spraying, has a much harder time. It's a rough uphill battle all the way to establish one's right to grow things free of pesticides.
There's trouble in the wind among the BPA, the wind power producers, and the utility customers. The Bonneville Power Administration, which markets the energy produced at 31 hydroelectric dams and a nuclear plant in the Columbia River Basin, has seen the amount of wind power flowing onto its grid nearly double in each of the past 4 years. You'd think that's a good thing. But corporate interests claim the surge is hard on the existing transmission system, and they say wind is such an intermittent resource, it also poses reliability issues for the hydro system.
Well, what happens in Hong Kong stays in Hong Kong. What's made in Hong Kong goes straight back there. Two companies with operations in Washington State illegally exported computer monitors to Hong Kong. They probably came from somewhere very close to Hong Kong, Guangzhou Province, no doubt. The EPA says that W&E International Trading Company and SM Metals have been ordered to properly dispose of computer waste that they exported to Hong Kong in April. Globalization, it's fraught with irony sometimes.
State investigators say that clinics around Oregon haven't been storing vaccines properly, so now public health leaders say almost 22,000 people, mostly children, should get new vaccinations. This year's problems involve temperature control and record-keeping for common children's immunizations against illnesses including polio, measles, and tetanus. The clinics involved are writing to patients who got the questionable vaccines and offering to revaccinate them for free. Whatever else this is, it's a shot in the arm for pharmaceutical companies.
Well, as President Obama's health care reform agenda rolls toward the August 8th deadline, Republicans seem to have abandoned all hope of being taken seriously by the American people. They've turned the whole leadership role over to Madison Avenue, which seems to have a lot more traction. There was an ad that came out this week from the American Health Insurance Plans from their group. They, of course, staunchly oppose anything that remotely resembles the public health plan. Joining us this morning is independent journalist David Rosenfeld with the Lund Report to talk about this. Good morning, David. Thanks for being with us again.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. So this AHIP ad was just one of many ads that the industry has been putting out lately. And a recent report by the Center for Responsive Politics said that the healthcare lobby spent $3 billion on lobbying last year alone. There was another report a few months ago in the Wall Street Journal saying they're spending $1.4 million per day to lobby, mostly against any type of reform plan. And just to run through a couple of the ads, the AHIP ad wasn't so blistering. They're basically calling for bipartisan support, but we know right now no Republicans are supporting the plan. Also the RNC launched an ad where they're using a child, sort of saying that any health care reform, because it's going to cost so much money, will endanger this child, let alone the fact
kind
that...
Kind of like a human shield for the pharmaceutical company.
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, another one that's pretty tough is a group called Patients United, which I think is one of these kind of AstroTurf groups, looking like they're a grassroots organization. They have a woman from Canada saying that she had a brain tumor, and if she had relied on the Canadian healthcare system, she would have died. She said she came to the United States and got treatment at the Mayo Clinic. It's interesting to point out that our own healthcare system in the United States, it's been estimated that 22,000 people per year are dying because of lack of health insurance and therefore lack of health care coverage. So I don't think that, you know, we have a whole lot to be very proud of in this country.
And it seems, too, that most polls that I've looked at this overall satisfaction with medical care in Canada and England is much higher amongst the general public than it is here, even though we constantly are raving about what terrific health care we have in the United States. I suppose it is terrific if you can get your hands on it. Otherwise, who'd know? I suppose they could just say it's terrific. We'd never find out because we don't get any.
Yeah, well, one reason it's terrific is they don't really have to pay for it. You know, it's paid for through their taxes, but they don't have to pay out of pocket. They're not in danger of going bankrupt for going to the hospital and that sort of thing. And it really feels like that debate has been long settled. We have had so many reports and tremendous documentaries, not only from Michael Moore, who we can easily, you know, many people can discount, but for many, many reports have shown that. And, I just want to also say that the line in the sand is definitely this public health plan option. And tomorrow at Thursday, MoveOn.org is planning nationwide rallies to pressure key senators, and one of those is Senator Ron Wyden, and they will be meeting at Pioneer Courthouse Square. That's Thursday at 6:45 p.m. So everyone can make it, even those who are working.
Right, so you can have lunch with Earl Blumenauer today and dinner with Ron Wyden tomorrow evening. Thanks so much for that. My guest has been independent journalist David Rosenfeld with the LundReport.org. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
An independent investigator in Alaska has found evidence that outgoing Governor Sarah Palin was involved in unethical practices. She accepted improper gifts and secured unwarranted benefits through the Alaska Fund Trust. The trust was set up by Palin supporters. The personnel board found that Palin used or attempted to use her position as governor for personal gain after she authorized the trust creation to cover her legal fees.
Time to lawyer up.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Wednesday, July 22, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Kate Welch. The KBOO Interim AM News and Public Affairs Director is Trillium Shannon, sitting in for Kathleen Stevenson on sabbatical. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Trillium Shannon, an update on the coup in Honduras, and a discussion of the Global Day of Action for Iran.
Thanks for listening, and have a good day.